You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
And welcome back. It is the WXCO Morning Report, part of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow here on 98.9 WXCO. I am Chad Holmes along with Ian Welsh. Ian, good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
2025 almost at the rearview mirror, and 2026 is coming up, and somebody we've had a chance to talk to a number of times during the 2025 calendar year from the WASA Sustainability, Energy, and the Environment Committee, Carol Lukens. And Carol, good to see you again.
Thank you. Good to be here.
It is right now in the midst of winter. Yesterday morning, very warm. Then things got colder with some snow, and we've had some early snow this year, in fact. And that means a lot of people are getting out there using their salt to allow people not to slip as much. But if you use too much salt, that can be a problem. That's what we're going to talk about today. The salt, ways to be smart about it, correct?
Yes, exactly.
And it really is something that is, and I was talking to you before we went on the air, that in terms of layers, there's a lot of different layers that are involved. I don't think people really think about how many different areas that salt can cause some issues with the environment. It can cause issues also in terms of roads and bridges. It really does cut across a lot of strata, doesn't it?
It does. It definitely does.
Where do we start with this? Because you decided that this is an important, and I do agree, this is a very important topic to talk about. Where should we start with
it? You know, we use it for safety reasons. So maybe the effects of
basically outside businesses, are you talking about, you know?
Yeah.
In terms of, you know, because like right here, I mean, we come here downtown WASA. We got all these businesses here downtown. And a lot of folks will use the salt because people are walking around and they don't want to slip and fall down. And there feels like there's some sort of a responsibility for us business owners to be able to make sure the folks are safe as they come in. But sometimes people use it too much, correct?
Yeah, there's so many issues with this. And I think that for safety, we all use it, right? We've been told, sure, we salt our sidewalks, so make sure someone doesn't slip and fall. And for businesses, parking lots and their sidewalks, it is really important. However, it is having some negative effects.
And the thing that's interesting as well is a lot of these businesses have these big pails of salt. Yeah. I mean, it's almost as like, how much can we use?
Right.
I mean, it's get out there. The more, it's like the more that we use, the more safe it's going to be. People won't slip. It's not necessarily the case, number one. It takes a very small amount of salt to really do affect what's below the surface.
It does. I was surprised at that because really until I started to research this, I had no idea myself. I used to use way too much salt myself.
How much of a small sample does have a real effect?
So a 12-ounce cup will treat a 20-foot driveway or 10 sidewalk squares. So I've done that myself. I've taken a 12-ounce cup
right,
and gone out and spread that over 10 sidewalk squares. And yeah, it's surprising. And you know, people also, I think the tendency is to just kind of throw these handfuls out. So you'll have these little piles of a lot of concentrated salt in one area, and that's not really spreading it over. That really is the key, to spread it out. And you don't need nearly as much as we think we do.
And I saw a note in some of the notes that you sent to me saying that 1 teaspoon of salt, a very small amount of salt, can make 5 gallons of water toxic to freshwater ecosystems.
Yes.
How does that happen?
The problem is that the chlorides, they don't break down. And so that builds up in the water. And it's called salinization or salinization syndrome. And that's what's happening to a lot of our lakes, a lot of our water. It becomes instead like ocean water. And then that's dangerous. That's damaging to the vegetation, to the fish, to wildlife. It damages the soil. High chloride levels can kill plants, kill vegetation, damage the soil. The salt also can make other pollutants more mobile and that spreads. So it's just, it has this effect like throwing a little pebble into the water, right? And it has this ripple, these ripples that we see. Well, that's what the salt does because of the chlorides in it.
If people say, hey, I hear what you're saying, but we still need to have ways to, you know, work with these sidewalks and the roads and try not to make things dangerous out there, what is the suggestion that you have in this case?
To really get out right after a snow, if we can shovel immediately or as soon after snow as we can, that keeps the sidewalks clear. The more that we remove, the less salt that you need. But also, we can put some salt out before, like say if we know it's going to be a freezing rain, you can apply some, and we don't need a lot. Again, I would really encourage people to fill that 12-ounce cup and use it that way, because then we're much more aware of what we're using. Also, a brine. You can make your own brine, and that's what the city is doing now. They've been using brine and pre-wetting the roads because that really reduces the amount that they need.
You know, when you talk about the amount that should be used, I think you can almost translate it to when people use salt to eat.
So yeah.
Often we just put way too much salt on our food. And it's like this idea that the more you have, the better tasting it's going to be. And I think it's the same thing here. It's like the more salt, it's going to make it safer and all the ice is going to go away. That's not the case at all.
That's what I do, because otherwise I know that I'll probably use too much. And it's not just the environment as far as the wildlife or fish and plants, but it's also our infrastructure, and that costs money.
So lots of money.
Yeah, yes, exactly. And then it also inconveniences people too when the infrastructure has to be repaired. So we really have many, many reasons to really be careful about our use of salt.
And it doesn't fade away. That's the thing as well. As you say, they never break down. So every bit that you use, it is there forever, isn't it?
It is. And there is, the city tends to take the extra snow that they clear and they put it on the property where the farmer's market is in the summer. And I've had a number of people contact me, residents, with concerns that the city is piling that snow there and it has salt in it and that's right by the water. Those are valid concerns.
More with Carol Lukens coming up at 7:22 here on 98.9 WX.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
It is the WXCO Morning Report, part of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO. I am Chad Holmes, and we are continuing our conversation with Alderperson Carol Lukens, also a member of the WASA Sustainability, Energy, and Environment Committee, talking about snow and ice and salt, the cost involved with salt on the roads, on the sidewalks, and in the community is a very big number.
Yeah, nationwide $5 billion yearly damage to our infrastructure, roads, bridges.
And the thing is, it makes all so much sense when you think about what the salt does, and you think about the material that these roads and these bridges are made of. Of course, it's going to disintegrate. I mean, it's sort of a common sense kind of thought that if you use more of that salt, it's just going to grind into that and it's going to weaken the materials, and you'll be forced to. We in Wisconsin, of course, see it all the time with the way the roads that just disintegrate so very quickly, and that leads to, you know, repairs and costs, and not just the cost of the roads and the bridges, the cost of vehicles, because you hit potholes and you hit, you know, these areas of the roads that cause damage to the car. So again, the cost just keeps on multiplying in different ways.
Exactly. Yes. It just affects so many things, and really ultimately our pocketbooks.
Yeah.
And the one other thing that residents can do that I didn't mention before is sand as well. Mm. So apply the salt very sparingly, but also using sand. And the city does put out barrels of sand. So residents are able to do that. They can help themselves to that, and that gives traction. That's one thing that I've been doing more at home too, is trying to use more of that.
And also something that's worrisome, because so many folks deal with community wells and the water, yes. the drinking water. When you just think about it, it just makes so much sense that if you use all this salt and, again, the runoff wherever it goes,
yep.
it's going to affect that as well. And it's a rather significant percentage, isn't it?
It is.
39% of Wisconsin community wells have exceeded recommended sodium levels for people on low salt diets. I mean, that's an incredibly high number when you think of 2 out of 5, basically. And again, you start thinking about cost factors. You start thinking about healthcare costs, because exactly. all of a sudden you're getting more people that are sick because of this that occurs. Again, there's so many layers to it, isn't
yep.
it? I mean, you start off by thinking, well, we just don't want to slip and fall down in front of a business. And then right. it goes from the A to B to C to D.
Yes. Yes, it does. It's throwing that pebble in the water and those ripple effects. So if there are enough people that have health conditions that they need to be careful of the salt that they consume, if it's in our drinking water, yeah, it's just kind of permeates everything.
And frankly, when you think about here in this community, we've kind of learned in different ways how difficult and how costly it can be to clean up water.
Yes.
I mean, yes. So again, every time that you try to maybe be ahead of the curve on it, on something like this occurs, then you'll be back into another situation where all of a sudden you're going to be forced to spend a lot of money on trying to clean up a water supply. And it's not easy when it comes to salt, is it?
No, it's not. And 50, if we think about it, 50 Wisconsin rivers and streams and one lake are already impaired. And, you know, we're also known for, you know, our water, right? Mm-hmm. With tourism and things like that. So we really do need to be aware of it. And, you know, becoming aware is the first step. But yeah, I mean, it's permanent. So the best thing that we can do is prevent it.
And you talked about the fact that the city is taking steps, mm-hmm. and that's a good thing, isn't it? I mean, mm-hmm. in terms of the city doing some different ways of trying to reduce the salt use, and you said it by different ways. Mm-hmm. Are you seeing that being embraced at the city level, at the level that you'd like it to be?
Yeah, I think I've been very, very pleased. I actually took a tour of the streets department a few years ago when I first became alder, and they have these huge, huge containers of the brine, but they're very aware because, of course, you know, whatever they can also do to conserve it helps down the road with the work then that they have to do with repairing right. the infrastructure mm-hmm. and, you know, with costs of everything having risen, you know, they also, you know, don't have as many employees, you know, I mean, it's just yeah. I've been really, really pleased at how much the city has really embraced this, the employees there.
That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. As we put in our show notes, you'll be able to hear the podcast of our discussion. We'll also have some resources. You got some interesting links that people can mm-hmm. find out a little bit more on how to take a, and again, they don't have to be, really, I think small steps do add up.
They really do. They really do. And I think that I've been really pleased to see quite a few people, just even as I walk my own neighborhood, you know, not using as much. And that's really wonderful.
Make those, get rid of real wheelbarrows full of salt. These
right? Right? Exactly.
It's so easy to do too much in that case. You just, you know, it's just, mm-hmm. it's, oh, the more it's going to make it. No. It's, you don't have to do that. There are different ways to make sure that you can walk safely after a little bit of a mixture of the snow or the freezing rain or whatever it may be.
Yes.
Anything we're forgetting before we wrap up our discussion?
I would just say that the Wisconsin SaltWise program, and that is one of the links that you'll have, but that is a really good resource for this. And so that's something that people can look up, and we can learn how to make our own brine too through the Conservation Foundation, which is another link that you'll have, but I found that to be quite interesting.
Yeah, so check it out. Again, once the program ends this morning, we will put up our podcast and then have show notes discussing our discussion here today. And you can find out more. And again, just take those steps because, again, it takes everybody in order to try and help the environment and also, again, help our budgets.
Exactly.
I mean, again, we talk about the different layers. There are different layers. If you're not spending all that money on road construction and bridge construction, there are different ways you can use that to help people's lives as well. So
exactly. We can do it.
We can. And as we start this winter, and hopefully it's not going to be a winter that lasts forever, but we're going to have to deal with it for a few more months. Think about this as we continue. Carol, again, it's always good to see you, and we'll catch you again real soon.
Thank you. Likewise. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. Carol Lukens joining us here this morning. We're going to take a quick break and then come back with more as we continue on this Friday morning. It is the WXEO Morning Report on 98.9. And good morning once again, everyone, and welcome back. It is the WXCO Morning Report, part of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow here on 98.9 WXCO. Online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Currently, 8 degrees is the temperature here in downtown Wausau at our studios at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street in downtown Wausau. The time is 7:53, Friday morning, the 19th day of December of 2025. Ian Walsh across the way, and across the table, Paul Micklick talking about some Wisconsin sports heading into the weekend. Good morning.
Good morning, Chad. Ian, good morning. A little cold out there this morning.
A little nippy.
It is.
A little nippy.
Yeah.
Very nippy.
Well, big weekend. Always a big weekend.
Big.
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk. I mean, a week ago, everything was looking rosy for the Packers. And then, you know, they were up almost by double digits. It looked like they were on their way to another win. And then all of a sudden, the injuries start popping up. And now they're back in the same situation they were 2 weeks ago going into the Bear game, but not quite as healthy.
Yeah, I mean, they're going in. We talked about last week. The fact was that they had to win one of those two games. Right. Denver, and that's counting that you're going to win the two games that you have on, you know, the Baltimore and at Minnesota, which is, and both of those are not gimmies either.
Right.
So this is why during the regular season, when you lose against Cleveland, when you lose against Carolina at home, mm-hmm. those games are going to, you have to make hay when the sun's up because you don't know when this is going to happen. Right. And the worst injuries, anybody will tell you, the worst injuries are injuries that happen inside the game because it's hard to, you have a game plan and you cannot adjust. It's just a fact. And so when they started losing, I mean, I'm talking, they're losing 5-6 guys. That's a lot of guys. And to say like the next man up thing, that's fine and dandy, but that's not reality inside the game. And when he threw that pick, when they went for the home run, they were trying to put the game away. And when they went through it, the whole thing changed. And quite frankly, our season probably changed at that point in time.
Yeah, I mean, boy, I mean, offensively, it looked like they were unstoppable. And then all of a sudden, they were stoppable. I mean, you call plays. You know offense. Was it just the injuries, or was there something else there? I thought, I don't know. It didn't feel quite right to me. Again, as a layman looking from the outside, I thought they kind of didn't continue exactly the way that they got to the lead where they scored the first four times they had the football.
And this is going to sound crazy coming from me, Chad. Denver's got a pretty good defense. They're paid money to play good defense. Yeah. And you take Watson out and you slide everybody down a slot to a different position, number two to a number one, a number two to a number, or a three to two, so forth. And your right tackle is out. And I thought the sub did okay. But the reality of it is, Tom is one of the best in the business. All right. So at that point in time, the Packers were playing without one of the best tight ends in the league. They were playing without one of the best right tackles in the league. They're playing without their top receiver. So is their offense not going to probably be as sharp as it was? And you got your running back that's banged up. And everybody's banged up. I understand that. But it's inside the game. And I just think that it just kind of, Denver started doing some stuff. We went for the long shot, didn't hit it, kind of got discombobulated, and those things happen. It's just a shame because you felt like if they would have put together a drive there and even scored a field goal to get up to 12, that they were going to be in good shape and take 4 or 5 minutes off that clock and things would have been a little different.
What about tomorrow night? Chicago played very well after the loss to Green Bay. They shut down Cleveland. They did what they were supposed to do against Cleveland at home. Obviously, for them, this is a huge opportunity. They have not been in this position for quite a long time. They know the Packers and don't have Micah Parsons this time around, who was such a big factor just 2 weeks ago. As you look at this matchup, it just feels like the whole vibe of this game has changed very quickly.
Yeah, I mean, right now the Packers got to worry about one game at a time. What they got to do is get healthy and try to still make the playoffs.
And that's it. I mean, what are they, a game and a half ahead of Detroit? That doesn't seem like a big margin right now, even with 3 games to go.
they lose this one, and they got to win the last two.
They're very fortunate Detroit lost to the Rams last week.
Yes, that's I think it. The perspective changes from winning the division to let's make sure we get in the playoffs, and then you never know what happens, and you can get hot, and the quarterback gets hot because it's a quarterback play, can carry you. Tomorrow is going to be difficult. I don't know how in the world you tell me how the Packers are favored.
And Chicago, you're exactly right. And Chicago in the second half a couple weeks ago, they moved the ball.
That was with Parsons.
Right. They moved the ball consistently in that half.
Yes.
I mean, so Green Bay, number one, even with Parsons, would have been there. I think they would have had to look, hey, what was going on here, and see what the Bears were doing. And now it's without Parsons, you have to figure a way to try to slow down that offense that is capable of throwing the ball very well, capable of running the ball very well. It looks like an offense that is really starting to hit its stride.
And Williams is going to be probably out, I would assume, and he was playing as one of the highest safety spots in the conference, or in the NFL. So it's not just the front side of that defense, it's the backside, and the backside was kind of iffy as it was. I did think McKinney, he came out, and I thought he played his best game. He obviously missed those couple interceptions he should have had, but I thought he played, which was a good sign.
Well, that's something as well. They cannot afford to let any opportunities for those momentum plays to go by.
You got to steal possessions.
Yes, you have to make sure that you maximize every opportunity in a game like that, or otherwise they're not going to win the football game.
Correct.
And I think it'll be very tough anyways. But that's why they play the game.
Hey, coaching. Let's see what it does.
You've been watching this guy, so
let's see what they do.
We'll come back with more with Paul Micklegg at 8:22 coming up next. It's an information update. And then another segment of The Final Day with Pat Kreitlow here on WXCO.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
And welcome back. It is the WXCO Morning Report, part of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow here on 98.9 WXCO. We will have the number for the day quiz coming up with Ian Welsh because he's 0 for 3 this week, and we missed one day, so I don't know. Maybe we should do 2 quickies at the very end to give him a chance to get to 5. But Paul Micklegg across the way, it's not good basketball for us fans, who, especially those of us who like the teams from Milwaukee, the Bucks and Marquette, because the last two nights they both were playing at Pfizer Forum, and both times very quiet crowds were leaving the exits. And let's actually start with the college.
Think about this. We could have 3 teams lose at Pfizer Forum.
Yeah, because the Bucks,
the Badgers play there tonight. And that's a realistic possibility.
It is a realistic possibility.
That's not a good thing. Like, you're talking about college basketball for the state of Wisconsin.
What about college hoops? What about the Badgers? Badgers and Marquette. I think Marquette's put a fork in them because they're just not that good. How about the Badgers? Do you think that they have a shot to? I mean, because they've been off, they've been hot and cold. When they've lost, they've been pretty ugly.
Yep.
And then they've won a few games, so they look pretty good.
I mean, we talked about them last week because they got that was the worst loss.
Yeah, they haven't played in a while.
They haven't played since the last time we talked, and worst loss in Gray Guard's history, 30 points against Nebraska. And so that's there's a problem. There is definitely the sway of things of seeing what they're going to do. Tonight's going to be a big game. They have to get this one and put that into their resume so down the road that they have a good non-conference win. Because otherwise, they beat Providence, right? That would be because the Marquette game that they won is not going to look very good, unfortunately, on the resume. So they gotta build that up. I know it's a long ways away, but the reality of it is the games that happen now do affect them, you know, in March.
Absolutely. Oh, I mean, they all truly do count. Bucks last night fell to Toronto. Giannis talked before the game. Didn't really say a lot, in my opinion. trying to claim that he doesn't really know what his agent is talking about with the Bucks. I mean, come on. I mean, come on.
You don't
on.
Believe him? I'm sure he has no idea.
No idea.
None. Zero.
His agent is just freelancing it here.
Yep.
You know, wherever his agent wants him to go, that's where he's going to be. He has no problem, whatever's happening. But it looks like he'll be out, I think, until after the start of the new year. Bucks fall. Now they're, what, 11-17? Yeesh.
17, 16, 17, 17?
17, because they were 11 and 16 going into last night.
Oh, I was trying to forget that Brooklyn game from Sunday, because that was ugly.
That was ugly. A bad basketball team, and they lose by 45 points.
To a team that's trying to lose.
That's what one of the Bucks said, yeah.
Kuzma. Yes, he did. And he's right. I mean, that's a fact that they're, I don't want to say they're trying to lose, but he said that word. But they're definitely, like, not put together to beat somebody by 45.
No. Is there hope for the Bucks? I mean, when Giannis comes back, do you think that there's a chance? Do they have? I know that Porter's a good player. And you said it to me earlier that Giannis will make him even better, but he's done a good job when he's been out there. Is there a way if, again, it's one of those situations where you have to hope all these guys almost play at their peak. And even then, it's not going to be easy.
They're KPJ, and I've said this from the second that he got on there, he is their probably second best playmaker behind Giannis.
Yeah, yeah.
And when I say playmaker, he can create his own shot and create shots for others.
And the thing about it is the Bucks massively need that. that's one of the problems that they have. I mean, I think the average NBA team has more explosive and better playmakers in more positions than the Bucks. The Bucks are just limited in certain positions.
At the end of the day, they got a lot of role players. Green's a role player. Trent's a role player. Prince, when he was out, I mean,
Portis
I don't think that
is
was
a role player.
Portis is a role player. And Portis might be their third best player when he's on.
Yeah, and the thing is, he's very up and down.
He plays better at home. he feeds off that crowd, and that's a fact. I mean, he feeds off them. If you look at his big games, he has huge games at home.
But you need the guy to be
taken. Well, you need to do on the road, too. I understand that. But I'm just saying that he plays better at home. So when at home, he's your third best player. And on the road, he's not, unfortunately. And that's not going to cut it when you're trying to win games. They are in a 10th seed, right?
I think. I know. it's actually going to be hard to get out of the 10th seed, I think, because the teams behind them are all in tank mode, basically.
Well, if anything, what they got as a Bucks fan, with Giannis coming back, if they trade him, you're going to get something, or you just want him back so you could do something with him.
Exactly.
Because right now, you're just sitting here in limbo, and they're kind of non-existent. Right now, what they can think is it's Christmas, number one, and number two, like that 45-point loss happened when the Packers debacle was going on.
Exactly.
So, you know, there's a lot of stuff that's taken that light on it.
Real fast, let's do it, Ian. Let's do two quickies here to give you a chance to wrap up the week with at least one right and maybe even a passing grade.
Okay.
How many minutes of fame? We are said to have these many minutes of fame once in our lifetime. Andy Warhol quote.
Okay.
Is the correct answer 10, 15, or 20?
15. I know this one.
15. So you got that one right. Okay. And also, Henry VIII had multiple wives. How many? Henry VIII. How many wives did Henry VIII have? 6 wives, 8 wives, or 10 wives?
I know this one also because there's actually a musical based on this.
Well, I didn't know that. Okay, how many?
The answer is 6.
It is 6. So you get 2 right today, so you get 2 out of 5 for the week. You pulled one out of the fire.
Like you said, the pressure really does help.
There you go. We need to take him on the road.
That's a great day.
He can go on the road.
He can go on the road home anywhere.
There you go. Doesn't he can take that.
He was good on Sully's show last week, too.
Oh, yeah, I was. Well, Ian, congratulations.
Thank you, Chad.
Have a good weekend.
You too. Have a good weekend.
We'll be back.
You too.
Monday, and we'll talk to you then. Stick around. More of Pat Kreitlow coming up next here on 98.9 WXCO.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.